To divide the word of truth, to show, Lord God, that your word never changes, that you spoke in the beginning, and your word from the beginning still means the same thing at the end. Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we thank you. Lord, we ask that you touch your people today. Anoint them, anoint my lips of clay. Anoint them to hear. Father, let us be able to speak this word, Lord God. And Father, let there be no doubt that the Holy Spirit is the teacher on tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody know what tonight is or today is. Amen. Nobody said what today? Today? They call it Holy Thursday, but it's really Pascha. Passover. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. So, the Bible tells us that we should remember this day. Now, I want to talk about it, but I want to talk about it in the sense that we Christians and those of us who are not born by the flesh Israel that we know of, want to talk about it in that respect and not to put us back under the law, but want to talk about it so that we may understand it clearly and how the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. Amen. Amen. So I might need a little bit of help with some of the scriptures, reading them. So Sister Dawn, I'm going to hand you a mic in case I do. All right. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We almost failed at singing Amazing Grace. Amen. It's the grace that brought us this far. And grace will lead us on. Amen. We must not ever forget it was the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And after we discuss this tonight, and you'll see the reason why I brought a little bit of what we call communion out so that we can do this together. Amen. Amen. All right. Beginning, I want to talk to you about what we call Passover leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And then maybe Sunday we'll pick up where we leave off tonight and finish it up. Amen? Amen. And so we'll take our time and try to do this. And if you have any questions, we will try to revisit whatever it is after we go through the lesson so that we can try to get to the end of it. Amen? Amen. Boy, I have excitement and expectancy for understanding. I just get excited when I have something to share that people might be able to understand. Man, I get excited. You know, I don't know about anybody else. Some people may get excited about the close of a message or about a story they have to tell, but I get excited when I think I have information that you might appreciate. If you truly love the Word of God, if you hunger and thirst for the Word of God, amen? But when we talk about Passover, we must also understand that there are three significant, feasts that we really need to pay attention to at this time. That's why God told the children of Israel that they should observe the feasts. And that was a holy time, a solemn time for them to set aside time for God. But with the fast-paced world we live in today, we live in a world that we will not pay attention to the feast or basically time that we should set aside to worship God. God understood that they would be busy, that they would work, but then he said that there's some time that I want you to take. And he did, look, these were feasts that lasted for weeks and days. And he wanted them to take that time and dedicate that time totally to him. We have dedicated, and the majority of the people who say that we're Christian, we have dedicated only about 40 days a year to worshiping God, because we don't make 52 Sundays. We only make about 40, because there's 12 of them that we do something else. That's the days we don't feel like it, the sick days we get. You know, we like, it's like work. We got sick days, days we might want to call in, don't want to come. Times, and not even to mention, we're not going to even include midweek service or Bible study, because most people don't attend. Look around. So God wanted them to spend time worshiping him, so he gave them first the Feast of Passover. Then he gave them the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then he gave them the Feast of the Sheaf of First Fruits. And then there are more, but I don't have time to talk about them. I'm going to try and talk about these three in briefly, okay? But there are more, like the Feast of Pentecost and Tabernacles and stuff like that. And each one of them are prophetic. Each one of them fulfillment of them were in Christ Jesus. But each one of them are prophetic, and we should recognize each one of them with the eye, a spiritual eye, to understand that the Holy Spirit has given us understanding that these are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when we start to look at it, let's go first to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we might as well start at the first verse. Let's see. Exodus chapter 12, the first verse. Now who's speaking here? The Lord. Right? Y'all can talk back if you know. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. So basically God was giving them a what? New beginning. All right? He said, this shall be the beginning of the first of the months for you. Speaking to ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Let's stop right here. So he begins to tell them, basically, in short in the story, this is them being delivered from the house of bondage. This is God using Moses to speak to the people to tell them that I'm delivering you from the house of bondage. This is the Exodus. What does Exodus mean? It means the departing or the leaving away from the house of bondage, which is Israel. And we should want to leave the house of bondage. We should want to. Many times people don't want to leave the house of bondage. We sometimes go to church and then we realize we miss what we had in bondage, and we go running back to the world to do worldly things. Now, the Bible says if any man put his hand to the plow, then looking back, he is not what? Fit for the kingdom. So we can't afford to go back into the world after we've tasted of the truth. There is therefore no other sacrifice that will be given for remission of sin because we went back. Amen? Amen. All right. So here's the story that he's delivering them from Egypt, the house of bondage. And this is the part of what we call in Hebrew, they call it Pascha. In the Greek, it's Pascha. And then in the Greek is Pascha, which is interpreted the passing over. What happened here was that when God told them to take the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, 1, 2, 3, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, put the door on the doorpost, and he said that when that death angel passed through, he said, then I'm going to what? Hover over you. Amen. I'm going to pass over. In other words, I'll cover you so that the death angel can't touch you because you're covered by the what? Blood. We must know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so we can't die the second death. And so when he did that, all the firstborn of Egypt died, but the children of Israel, nobody died. And God delivered them that night, and they were able to leave the house of bondage. But look at what God did here. He tells us that he took a lamb. He said, take a lamb on the what? 10th day, the congregation, take a lamb on the what? 10th day. So let's look at verse 2. It says, this will be the beginning of months. So this is the beginning of months for them. This is the beginning. And so what is a new beginning? We get a new beginning, and God blessed them with a new beginning, saying that after you come out of bondage, you get a new what? Beginning. So after we become saved, he said, behold, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things become what? New. So I'm going a little fast because I got a lot to say, all right? So I'm trying to get it all out there. So after verse 2, he says, this will be the beginning of the first month of the year unto you. So the feast of Passover was the beginning of months. Now, when we talk about Passover, even Paul, Sister Dawn, read for me 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. But when we talk about it, even Paul mentioned the typical fulfillment of the historical Passover for the nation of Israel. It was symbolic and even a shadow of the things that was to come through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7.
For purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump.
Mm-hmm.
Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us.
Amen. You see that? He said that you are truly, you know, he said that the leaven, you're truly leavened. And he says, but Christ is the what? Passover for us. And so what they would do, remember I told you about the feast of Passover, the what? Unleavened bread. Amen. And then the sheaf of first fruits. All of that took place in that week. So unleavened bread, they would search the house, find anything that was leavened. In other words, anything that would be puffed up in the bread that would rise, cause the bread to rise. Basically, pride. What was the some of the things that we know that happened in the Garden of Eden? One of the things was the pride of life that cost them what they had in Eden. Amen. And so all of a sudden now Paul says that Jesus is our what? Passover. He's our Passover. So when people say, well, I must celebrate Passover, and they're celebrating it, and they're thinking that, well, I'm celebrating it just like a Jew would celebrate it today, who don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh and don't believe that he's died and rose again on the third day, then they're celebrating it vainly, because we know who our Passover is. So whenever people try to take you back to that, and put you under the law, that's not what God wants you to be. He wants you to be able to understand that Jesus is our what? Passover. Amen? All right. And so, let's see. So, the Lamb of God, they would take the Lamb and let's see here. God called us into a new covenant or a new relationship with him. This is Don Reed for me, John 3 and 5, 2 Corinthians. Well, we hadn't read 2 Corinthians 5. We have 5 and 17? Okay, John 3 and 5, read that for me. And we see the steps in which we are to move to the other side of understanding what the Passover is, and then I'll get back to Exodus 12. I'm still there.
Okay, John 3 and 5. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Come on. Unless he's born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We must have a new relationship with God. So this newness that he talked about in chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 2, this newness, he's given them a new opportunity to start over. God gives us a new opportunity so that we could start over. And when we start over, all the things that we gained and done back in the house of bondage does not mean anything, because this is a new what? Start. Amen? So then he says, let's go back to Exodus 12, verse number 3. He says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a what? Lamb, according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And then he tells them how it should be without blemish. Now, he says, take your lamb. Now, he says, do this on what day? The 10th day, right? And he says, take it in the house on the 10th day. Now, when we go back and we read what we just preached from on Sunday, what was John, what? Who knows? John chapter, nobody know? 12. Let's go back to John chapter 12. And we'll see that when he entered into Bethany, it was 6 days. And this is important to remember. I'm trying to put it together quickly. But it was 6 days before Passover, right? You got that, Sister Don? John chapter 12. What verse 1 says?
Then 6 days before the Passover.
Yeah.
Jesus came to Bethany.
Yes.
Where Lazarus was, who had been dead.
Now, this is significant. Jesus comes to the place where Lazarus, who had been dead, but now has been resurrected from the dead by Christ. And it's 6 days before Passover, so Christ is doing something to show us that if we believe that he said to Mary, he said that I am the what in chapter 11? The resurrection. If we believe, then death cannot harm us. And Lazarus was proof. God always does it before he do it. He always lets you see that he's doing something before he actually does something. That's why you get that, it charges your faith and you get a sneaky suspicion that God is up to something. Now, if you go further down into chapter 12, find there where it says that, and on the next day. It says that on the next day that they came to, that he was going into Jerusalem. You got it?
Yeah. Verse 12. Uh-huh. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him.
All right. He's going in, and guess what day this is? This is day 10. This is the 10th day. All right? The 10th day of the month. And then the next day. So it was 6 days. I want you to count with me. 6 days before Passover. Passover is on the Thursday. Get it. Hold it. Passover is on the Thursday. Now, this is going to shake up some religion in us. So Passover is on the Thursday, but he comes to Bethany 6 days before, and on the next day, it's Palm Sunday. He goes into Jerusalem. Am I right? It's information. If you don't like information, you ain't going to like this tonight. So he goes in the next day. So back over to Exodus, he says, take the lamb in the house on the 10th day. So the lamb goes in the house. So when he went to Jerusalem, he himself was representing the lamb that went into the house of Israel, because that's where all of them were. So over 2 million people. Over 2 million. I don't know how many, 2 million men, but I don't know how many all together. They were at Jerusalem at Passover. Here Jesus comes in, the lamb. Now let's go to verse 5. And your lamb shall be without blemish. This is Exodus chapter 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish,
a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Prophecy. Prophecy. He says, the 10th day you take it in the house, and you keep it in the house for 4 days. Wow. Keep it in the house for 4 days. So, he enters Bethany the sixth day before Passover. 5 days before Passover. He goes over into Jerusalem, and he stays there. He don't leave for 4 days. Until, and I'm getting ahead of myself, and you just remember this, until the whole congregation of Israel say, crucify him, and they kill him. Look at that. All right? Y'all with me still? Good. All right. So, the lamb, and this is so awesome because you got to understand the time frame. And let me give you a little bit more prophecy. You have Jesus coming into the earth. If a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, and according to the Jewish calendar, that would have been 4,000 years from Adam. So that would have been the fourth day that Jesus came to earth to die. Look at that. Prophetic. God does it, and then he does it again. I like it, you know. So the lamb, he says, take the lamb of the first year without what? Blemish. We know that he was without blemish. He that knew no sin, right? He was without blemish, that he became sin for us, all right? So the lamb had to be without blemish. He had to be inspected by, listen to this. The lamb had to be inspected by the elders. What happened first? Jesus went after they arrested him. He didn't go straight to Pilate. Who did he go to first? The Sanhedrin. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all inspected him. Couldn't find anything. And then they turned him over to Pilate. And Pilate says, he washes his hands and says, I find no fault. He was declared without blemish. Maybe this won't take as long as I thought. He was without blemish. This proves who he is. Don't care what the world says. This proves who he is. Can I go further? And so he says, they took the lamb of the first year, the firstborn. He was the firstborn, Mary's son. She had him when she was believed, they say, about 13, 14 years old, teenage girl. That day, they would marry early. They didn't go to school like we do now till they 18. But by the time you was 13, you should have known how to cook, clean, and keep a house. This is true. By that time. And so Mary, he was the firstborn. Okay, let's go on a little further. He was firstborn, and they said you can take him from the lambs. So he came from amongst the people, the common folk. Joseph wasn't rich. Mary wasn't rich. Now they had got a good head start. They had a good Gerber program for Jesus because of the three wise men that came, or the wise men that came. We say three. You know, head start. You know that Gerber programming. Okay. He was without spot. They found no fault in him. And they took him into the house. Now, what would happen when they would take this lamb into the house? They would take it in the house because that lamb would be for the house. So in order for him to be for you, you got to let him in your house. Amen. They took him in the house, and while he was in the house, that lamb would be in the house. And that lamb did not, you know how we do, I'll put that dog outside, put that animal outside. No, when they brought the lamb in the house for those 4 days, that lamb was in the house. Everything the children did, everything they ate, that lamb was right there with them. What did Jesus do? He came in the house and the children took palm branches and they celebrated the Lamb of God. They celebrated. They were happy to have it. You ever brought a puppy home? I know when I would see a puppy, ooh, I'd go crazy. That dog would be all in my shirt everywhere. It's a pet. Imagine they bring that lamb in the house. What do you think those children did? They were happy to see that lamb. What happened when he rode into Jerusalem? They were happy. They celebrated. Now, some of y'all get a puppy now, you take a picture of that puppy, you want people to see who that puppy is. And you try to talk. I'm just using puppy because that's what we use in America. That's the kind of animal we most commonly get. But the lamb was in the house. But then the Bible says that the whole assembly of the what? Congregation. This is verse 6. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In the evening. Now, the whole assembly, they're going to kill the lamb in the evening. Now, you're getting ready. This lamb been in your house. Now, you're getting ready to turn on this lamb. He came in. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Celebrated him. 4 days later, crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. 4 days later, they had no heart for the Lamb of God. And the entire congregation, they were there to crucify. They wanted to see him die. Amen? Now, they said kill in the evening, right? It says, kill it in the evening. Basically, it would really mean between the evenings. Jesus died in the evening. The Bible says he hung from the 6th to the what? 6th to the 9th hour. About 3 o'clock in the evening, he gave up the ghost. The sun went down at 3. Have you ever seen the sun go down at 3? The sun went away, refused to shine. It got dark at 3 o'clock, and we'll try to get to some of that too. So the whole assembly killed the lamb, and it was done in the evening time, right? And the reason why, because they couldn't, you know, what could you do when it got dark, when it really got dark, when it was supposed to be? The people were still in the street. People thought, well, we got plenty of time. We got at least 3-4 more hours before it get dark. So they let them hang there. Go a little further here. When they talked about verse number 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts, side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So he's saying in order for you to be protected, you got to make sure that you get at the door. And at the door, the blood has to be present. At the door. Amen? At the entrance where you would come in, where anyone would come in. And anybody on this side of the door was protected from the death angel. Amen? So what that means is that you have to already have entered the door and had the blood in front of you, amen? You have to have the blood on that side, amen? And you need to be on this side so that the enemy or the death angel would not be able to touch you. We have to make sure that we're in Christ. We're in the place that we're supposed to be. And verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast it with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. This represented the sin. Eat of it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Now he's telling them now, you got to eat it all. Now the problem with us, we only want to eat some of it. We'll say, let this mind be in you. We don't want to eat the eye so we'll see like him. Because then we have to love people through all the mess and stuff. We don't want to eat the feet because we have to walk like him. We don't want to eat the heart because we have to love like him. We picky eaters.